Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Conversation with Good Brothers show. This is Darnell Ramsey. And my co-host, Brother Sean, he had a previous or a prior engagement, so he won't be on the show this evening, but I know he's listening in. What's up, Brother Sean? Pretty sure we'll talk after the show. But I have a lot going on. Have a first. But before I get started, I know me and Sean always like to talk about what's going on, but I wanted to put a little different spin to the show today. There's a couple shout-outs that I want to give out to a couple of special people doing some great things. First and foremost, I'd like to give a shout-out to Amani, who's graduating from Cal Arts in Valencia, California this weekend. I went to school with her mother, Noni, at Lincoln University, an incredible, incredible person, role model. But when I met Noni, she had Amani was just a little young lady. So it's amazing how quick 20-plus years ago by. But I wanted to let her know that I'm very proud of her. Congratulations, young lady. Unfortunately, I won't be able to attend her graduation, but I'm pretty sure I'll see her when she comes back to Baltimore. Congratulations on graduating from school, a thorough young lady out in California, out in Hollywood. So you'll be hearing from her in the very near future. She's a sharp young lady, always been a sharp young lady, come from a very sharp family. I want to give a shout-out to my daughter, Zaire, who just finished up her second year of college today. She took her finals. Baby girl, love ya. Keep up the good work. Want to give a shout-out to a good friend of mine down in Maryland, Anella. Her daughter, Anella, is graduating from Delaware University at the end of this month. So I wanted to say congratulations to her finishing up a program, another sharp young lady. I want to give a shout-out to Mackenzie. Mackenzie Wright, a good friend of mine's daughter, who got word that she got accepted into an internship at the Hillman Cancer Center this summer, doing 8 weeks. I think the young lady has a 4.3 through 2 years of high school, an incredible, incredible young lady. Also want to give a shout-out to my niece, Dee Dee, one of my younger nieces who just started her first job last week working at Chipotle. So maybe we have to go past Chipotle and get a few free meals. I'm just playing. I don't want her to get fired. But congratulations, Dee Dee, from getting your first job. And also, my niece started in a new high school this year. She had made honor roll all three reports. So I am extremely, extremely proud of that young lady, and also watching that young lady grow up into a beautiful young lady. But since we were off the air last year, I want to give a belated Happy Mother's Day to all the incredible women out there and the mothers. I was blessed to have the most incredible mom in the world, Ramsey. I know she's not listening, but everybody know how dearly I care about my mom. But I want to give a shout out to all you women. I know there was a quote I used to listen to, The Last Poets. One of my favorite songs were called, poems were called Black Woman. And one of the things that he said is one of the quotes or one of the phrases he say in that poem is, I'd be glad when you women to take over this world, because we men have messed it up. And I sincerely believe that and sincerely feel that, because without the woman's love, without a woman's touch, where would I be, and where would most of the men I grew up be, where would we be, where would President Obama be if he didn't have a thorough woman like Michelle on his side? Last but not least, I want to give a shout out to myself. last week I was in Mexico. I got the opportunity to do something that I've always wanted to do. I got the opportunity to go scuba diving. That was on my bucket list. So I'm riding on cloud nine right now, being able to go scuba diving. And not to mention I laid out down there and I got my sexual chocolate on. So you get the opportunity to tune into YouTube. If we post this on YouTube, you get to see my tan. I'm looking kind of chocolatey right now. If I should say so myself. But on Look, getting back to the show, and I wanted to do a different spiel moving forward. You know, have you noticed the theme of the day? I want to give a shout out to the women out there, the ladies who are, you know, an integral part of my life, is also an integral part of this world period. So with that said, moving forward every month, what I want to do starting today, I want to have different women or a different panel of women on my show just to get a different perspective on some of the things that we talk on Conversations with Good Brothers. You know, we've been doing it for almost 6 months now, so we haven't had the opportunity. And I know thanks to all the emails that's been sent in, thanks for all the conversations for all the women I've known at listening and support our show. So, you know, I hear some of the comments and some of the things that you want me to have on the show. So with that said, starting today and moving at least once a month, I will have different women or panels of women on the show so we can get a different perspective. Like I said, this is Conversations with Good Brothers, but also I like, you know, from all the great conversations I had with the many women, many beautiful ladies in my life, I would like to bring that to Conversations with Good Brothers show as well. So with that said, I want to introduce our first female guest, co-host. I guess she'd probably be on the show moving forward. An incredible friend of mine. Had the pleasure of knowing this young lady for a couple years. Soon I met her. We clicked. A phenomenal role model, a phenomenal supporter, a phenomenal friend, and actually her son is a gentleman who records our videos every week and posts them on YouTube. In addition to, he was also our first guest on our show a couple months back. A thorough young man who goes to Central Catholic High School here in Pittsburgh, an incredible man. But with that said, with no further ado, I would like to introduce our first female guest, Miss Deborah. I'm sorry, now I'm messing your name. Miss Deborah, that's her first French name. Her corporate name, Deborah Evans, but better known as Deborah Evans. How are you doing today, Dad?
Well, thank you for having me. I'm on. That was a very nice intro. I don't know if I could say much more. That's awesome. Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. And before I start, I want to say that I'm kind of trying to fill the shoes of our absent Sean. So, Sean, hello. I know you're listening, or at least we hope you are. So, I am very excited to be here, and I thank you for choosing me to be your first guest. Mm. And thank you. I mean, that's a great intro, and I'm glad. I support the show. I think it's great. You know, I listen in. But I always say, you know, I want to hear what I think women need to. We need to weigh in. We need to weigh in. And I've heard the women who have tuned in, who called in. So I think that is great. But ladies are taking over this hour.
Okay. I welcome that.
So thank you. I'm honored. We're great friends, and we have awesome conversations. So we decided to kind of put that out on the air. So I'm looking forward to that.
And just do what you do. I mean, me and Deb. I forgot one of my shout outs to a woman, my little niece, London Glanton, who just got accepted to a modeling agency here in Pittsburgh as well. A phenomenal young lady. I'm so proud of her. She's a beautiful young lady. I've been telling her that, you know, she's the world needs to get a taste of her beauty. Not only is she beautiful outside, she's a beautiful lady inside. So she just texted me a couple hours ago, let me know that she got accepted into a modeling agency. So I'm so proud of her. Keep up the good work, Ludlun. Before we get started, I know that I gave you just my overview, but you know, I always like, you know, since you're the first guest, tell us a little bit about, you know, your profession. Or, you know, a quick overview, and I guess people will get a chance to know a little bit more about you as we go through our conversation today.
Sure. I am the French name he gave me is so funny because he's the only person to call me. That's so funny. So I, you know, I'm a working class, you know, professional. I've been in the professional corporate world most of my career, so I've had an opportunity to really meet some great, you know, I do business development, so it's really good to be able to meet people from all walks of life, different business levels, you know, finding out how business owners start their business, what ideas they had, why they got into it, and it really kind of shapes you because, you know, you have an appreciation for, you know, family-owned businesses where there's a lot of people who kind of transfer hands and that kind of stuff. So really, I'm a professional working woman. I'm a single mom. So, you know, there's a lot to, you know, having to juggle a lot of things. So, you know, not only am I, you know, taking the approach to put my son in, investing in his education, because that's what it is. And I say this, and this might be kind of off our topic, but, you know, to me, investing in his education, I don't want to make this about him. I just wanted to make this for any mom who wants to put their child in, you know, let's say a better school. I'm no different than anybody else. I just took that leap and said I wanted to do something different. And the other thing is I looked at the education that I'm spending for him. You're always paying for something. I was paying for daycare when he was a little baby. I was paying for after school when he wasn't old enough to stay home by himself. So I'm able to now look at, okay, you're going to continue to pay. So I decided to put him in a private school starting in fourth grade and it's investing in his education. What does that have to do with a female panel? I'm saying that because I know we have female listeners, and if you want to take that, you know, if you say, how can I do that? Why should I do that? That's a lot of money. You look at, you know, like any other investment, the return on your investment, and I invested in him because I saw he had the potential. Would I have invested that kind of money and time in him if he was not, you know, performing in school? Probably not. So to all the women, mothers, people who are raising their kids, whether you're doing it on your own or you're doing it with a partner, you know, just look at, you know, kudos to you first and foremost, because being a mom is hard work. And no disrespect to our male listeners, but mom, we got to do it all. Let me just say this. You know, when we got a partner, ladies, we are the ones when the baby's small, we got to grab the diaper bag and make the babysitting arrangements. He's just standing at the door ready for you to go out. He's not making all the arrangements. Now, to the men who are doing that, great, but it is actually the women who are, you know, juggling the diaper bag and juggling the grocery cart and juggling, you know, all these things. And we're working women, you know, and we're trying to do all this stuff. And so that probably takes us into some other topic that we, you know, we bring up. But, you know, we hold it down. Really do.
Yeah. And I'm glad, you know, we sat here and did some type of, you know, outline of what we're going to talk about. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about. And it's strange because we didn't touch on an outline that we wanted to touch on tonight. However, I know one of our previous shows was how the absence, I think that was one of our first shows, the absence of black men or absence of fathers and how it impacts the child. But also you just gave a perspective on how it impacts the young guys. So just like Sean, you took it, Sean's baby. Sean, I'm tunnel vision.
Sean, I'm representing.
And that's what Sean do. Every time an introduction, Sean would drop a jewel. And I'm like, how we get here, bro? Yeah, I mean, so I think my butt paper balled up and throw it to the ground. Like, all right, Sean, you started it, man. Let's get started. But you touch up on so many things. I want to come back to that. I made a mental note about that. Talk about investing in education. I know me and my friends, quite a few of us, are always talking about the importance of investing in education. I want to come back to that. And I want to start off, since you started it, when you talked about how, I was raised by a single mom. You understand? I know me and you talk about that. You know how much I adore my mom. I was raised by a single mom, and the majority of my the guys that I grew up with were raised by a single mom. I come from, you know, the Hill District in Pittsburgh. The majority of the guys, at least I grew up with single dads, matter of fact, everybody grew up in a single parent household. At times, a few of my friends did have had fathers in a home, but you know, whatever happened, the father left out the home. So by the time we graduated from high school, every last one of my friends, 80-90% of them did not have a father in the home. So with that said, you know, we don't. I wanted to have like an open conversation. I know, man, you talk almost daily about these type of topics, but I wanted to bring this because this is the thing that a lot of sisters talk about. You know, we had these sad conversations, and one of the things about conversations with good brothers, we wanted to get into some nitty gritty or some real rap.
Okay.
The kind of conversations that we have, you know, behind closed doors, you know, this is the platform that I, you know, what I envisioned to show, this is the type of platform that I wanted to present and type of platform I wanted to talk from, just having no dialogue. And even me and Sean have been talking over the course of the last 6 months, but, you know, we both said, you know, let's bring a woman's perspective from listening to our viewers. Right? Let's bring a woman's perspective. So with that said, we talked about, you know, brothers, we're going to start right there, you know, sisters having to hold it down. And, you know, I was a product of a single family, but I don't know how does that affect the mental health of a sister. And I know, I'm sorry for cursing at you for mental health. When I say mental health, I talk about anytime you're dealing with an issue that you're not supposed to be dealing with, that's some type of mental health.
Yeah.
You understand? Because it's unhealthy mentally for somebody to be doing it on their own. Like you said, you know, a lot of women, they're working. Not only work, you know, I used to only get my daughter for the summers and my son for the summers over Christmas break. So that was the only time I got a chance to experience being a single parent. And I'm like, I couldn't imagine this, you know, what you all do with the grace. And y'all got a job. You know what I mean? How y'all able to hold this down. So how does that affect you all mentally, being a mom, carrying the weight of that?
You know, I think everybody's different, obviously. You know, everybody handles stresses differently and juggles differently. You know, I obviously can't speak for everybody, but I think, you know, as moms, we just jump in. We just do what we got to do. It's almost like you're like out of body. You just handle it. And then sometimes, you know, at the end of the day, you may kind of come down and have that moment where you're like, wow, like you look at the big picture of everything that you've done for the day, and you're like, wow. But you get up the next day and you keep going, you keep going. I mean, I think a lot of us hit the wall at some point. I mean, I know I hit the wall. They say God doesn't give you more than you can handle. But, you know, there are days where you want that partner. So the ones who are saying, you know, you want that person who's going to be able to kind of lighten the load for you, whether it's pick the kid up or, you know, whatever it is. I mean, throw a load of laundry. I mean, it's not that hard. So, I mean, but it's but here's the thing, and I think this is the part of the conversation that I, you know, want to talk about is more so about the men's, the role that the man. I mean, a lot of times, like if we say something like that. You know, I think sometimes that might scare a man off. Like, you're just voicing, you know, basic stuff. Like, I'd like to have that kind of support. And sometimes it backs you guys up a little bit. And so, to me, we can't be open and we can't express that this is what we want, and it backs you guys up. And why is it that we're supposed to do all these things and, you know, the simple things of the comfort of a man, but men don't have a problem being comfortable with us for all the different things that we can do. But if we, quote-unquote, and I use this loosely, cry for help and just say we kind of want to support, we're looked at differently. Mm. Like, oh, she just wants, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying all men. Obviously, we are being very general, but that's kind of a common theme, I think, sometimes with men. If we kind of become a little bit more vocal because we have hit the wall, you know, we kind of get the pushback, which is a little frustrating. It's frustrating.
And that's, you know, man, we have built for hours on this particular topic, and I don't know if there's not enough time for us to get into that. But, you know, going back to your point, I'm going to throw something out there for a lot of us who've been raised in single-parent households. No, and by no means, like you said, this is very general, and I'm only speaking from one man's perspective, and there are millions of men out there. But from a perspective, you know, I tell you that all the time, especially you raising a single being a single mom raising a young brother, you got to be very careful because some of us are pampered.
Yeah.
You know, when we grow up as men, our mom revolves, their whole world revolves around us, and it doesn't stop when we become adults.
Right.
But so all of a sudden, when we get into a relationship, we kick our feet back up and say, y'all been doing it all our lives anyway, not knowing, not making no excuses, but we don't know the effect that it has on y'all. And then, like you said, when you say something to us, most of us, because men, you know, the secret ladies, that we have very fragile and ego, fragile eggshell ego, that when you crack it, we automatically get defensive.
Mm.
Some of us. I'm not saying all of them brothers. I know don't blow me up on phone tonight calling me a sellout, but this is just real talk, and that's how I have it. But, you know what I mean? So with that said, sometimes we're sensitive. So when you all come in, that's where the nagging woman coming at. And when y'all ain't doing nothing but expressing your opinion.
Right. And so, yeah, exactly. But you had made a point, and I lost, I should have written it down real quick. You had made a comment, and I just lost my train of thought. But, you know, I don't know why, you know, unfortunately, this is the dynamic we're dealing with. And, you know, partnership. I say this, I use this word constantly. Partnership. What is true partnership? Because really, you know, if you have a mate, whatever your mate is, if he's your boyfriend, your live-in, your husband, you know, that should be partnership. And you should be able to depend and rely on your person. And then you also, even if you're kind of, I don't know, this is just kind of goes all over the place, but I do believe that you guys need to be a little, you guys need to look at it differently sometimes in terms of, you know, our so-called nag, as you put it, is not a nag. Because here's the thing, we're holding it down, we're taking care of your kid or, you know, some kids, and we're working and we're trying to, you know, we are, we're putting it together, because whether somebody else is in the picture or not, most of us are getting up every day and we're doing it. We're not sitting back at home going, well, my partner isn't holding his weight, so I'm just going to sit at home and wait. No, we're getting it done regardless. And I think there are some phenomenal, phenomenal guys out there who are partnering with women. There really are. But I think the majority of us, especially when you're, you know, a professional woman, you know, you're kind of holding it down. You know, I think sometimes that makes our struggle a little different, especially when you're single. It makes the struggle a little bit different because, you know, maybe there's some, I don't know, maybe there's some underlying things that we haven't addressed there. But single mom, you were talking about single mom and, you know, being raised by a single mom. And, you know, by no means, I mean, we, single moms are strong and we do that. But this is really, you know, not just all about the child, the relationship of taking care of the kid. I mean, our conversation is about romantic relationships. Because you had a show at one point about, you know, should people remain together after the romantic relationship has ended? And, you know, somebody I believe had said something, if there's kids involved, I don't remember what that was about. But, you know, to me, you know, and I'm kind of probably spinning off but still keeping this on the balance and partnership, but, you know, there are situations where people are, they broke up and then they have kids together and they're co-parenting. So, you know, then there's that's a thin line sometimes. Is it really over, or are you guys really just truly co-parenting, or are you doing some, you know what I'm saying? So,
because we're going to dig into that partnership for a while, because I know there's a lot of, you know, there's a couple callers that have been using that partnership, but I want to talk about it. I know we have to go to commercial break, so I want to come back, you know, where we had left off on the partnership. I didn't want to cut you off because deep into it, but of course, you know, we have to pay our bills with the commercial break. So we're going to take a quick commercial break and come back to conversations with Good Brothers with our first female co-host, Deborah Evans. And we'll pick up right off right where she left off on discussing the partnerships, because me and her talk about that for a while. But we're going to go to commercial break and be right back with conversations with Good Brothers.
If you are a recording artist and you're looking for the best quality, professionalism, and affordable pricing for your video shoot, you need to contact Blessed Media Group today. Blessed Media Group specializes in top-notch video production for entertainers, such as rappers and singers. You need a sports recruiting video? You're getting married? Need an actor's reel? We've got you covered there, too. Blessed Media Group, your one-stop video shop. For more information, please visit us online at www.blessmediagroup.com. That's www.blessmediagroup.com.
I'm Carrie Washington. One in four women will be a victim of domestic violence. Finances are almost always a weapon of choice, taking away access to cash, destroying credit, jeopardizing jobs. Financial abuse leaves invisible bruises that can take decades to heal. But there's hope. Allstate Foundation Purple Purse makes it easier to recognize, talk about, and stop financial abuse. Help women gain control of their purse strings. Join me at purplepurse.com.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Conversations with Good Brothers. I'm Darnell Ramsey, and we're here with our first female co-host, Deborah Evans. Deborah, I'm sorry. So I've been calling you Deborah. I got to get my professional on. but, you know, we're just getting started. With that said, I know I forgot, we know we always want to take calls and get some feedback from you all, our guests. Again, thank you for always supporting us, supporting the Conversation with Good Brothers show. But we're going to jump back, right back into this this conversation and touch a little bit on partnership. But, you know, over the break, the man Ted talked about, we have a topic that we wanted to really get into, uncomfortable conversation. And I know the people who know me know that's been my phrase for quite some time, uncomfortable conversation. But with that said, I know that partnership. That's a very, very, very powerful thing that we don't talk about. And you know, I know you ended off with that, but we talk about partnership. And I think also, me and Dad, we'll talk about it too. But me and Dad, we was in Cleveland a couple weeks ago going to a concert. Went to go see a whack concert. Concert was terrible. But anyway, we was talking about the follow up on that partnership thing, and I was explaining to Dad when we wanted the artists. It was a group of it was a group out there, and all of a sudden the singers walked to the back, and the so called producer went on a 30-minute solo.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
So that had me thinking, like black men, you know what I mean, or men, we have this ego, especially in our community. We talked about that, and the brothers on the phone. And I had three conversations just today alone about how men, especially black men, don't understand the importance of partnership.
Mm-hmm.
So not only is it we don't understand how beneficial the partnership with our women are,
mm-hmm.
we don't even understand the partnership with one another.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes I'll take it as a personal attack on you all. Naturally, yeah. But I take it as personal, from a man's perspective, I take it as an attack on me because I'm like, God damn, man, why do we always got to do things individually? I know all these so-called black businessmen, but you're a one-man gang. You're not really making business money, but you're a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So we all understand the importance of partnership and working with each other. So
mm-hmm.
And with that said, I know that, you know, you may know on how that, you know, we use that term as well as, you know, other people I've heard use that term that we don't understand partnership.
Mm-hmm.
What do you, how do y'all, when y'all talk about that partnership, do y'all really, try to phrase this. I think that y'all have the innate ability to understand the importance of a partnership and how we don't necessarily know anything about that. So how does that pressure I'm coming back to some of us who raised our single moms. Our moms, a lot of times, they're doing everything for us. So partnership is two ways. When you're doing everything for your son and then you get a woman who's doing everything for you, how do you learn the benefits of a partnership?
Okay, well, here's the thing, and this is just my perspective, is, you know, you say that, and every mom is raising their kid is different. But I'm not, you know, I'm hoping that my son is going to be self-sufficient. I'm raising him, you know, to be the type of man that I would choose. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to teach him about how to be a partner and all that kind of stuff. I understand him, you know, he's a teenager, but he's not getting that right now. So you say that, I mean, how far back are we going? Well, I wasn't, and I'm not picking that apart, but we were raised by a single mom, and that's kudos to your mom for that. But so are we as women never going to get that because there's a whole host of men out here who were raised by their single moms or whatever? You know, that's what I'm saying. It's like, when do we not hear, I say this all the time. When somebody just say, I got you, I got you. I want to hear what happened when you was five.
Okay.
I mean, I get it. It's important. I'm not saying that I'm not being sensitive, but I really, like, at some point in life, I feel like you have to, this is what I want. I want to be a partner. I want to learn. Then go out and get it and figure it out. If we go out and get everything else that we want, do you truly want to be a partner? Because I wonder how many people really want that. They say it, but do they really want that?
Okay.
I don't know how many people really do. Because then when you hear partner, then, you know, y'all think that means you got a noose around your neck.
Mm.
We say partnership. Oh, no, that's commitment.
Mm.
I'll call you later. I'll call you later. Then the phone won't ring. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, how much do you guys, I do think, and I'm to say this, but I think you guys are full of excuses. I mean, a lot of them. A lot of them.
I'm glad, this is ruining. And from being an older and being a mature man,
still full of excuses.
I can see your perspective. I can see why y'all can look at it like that. You understand?
Show us something different then. You know what I mean? Show us something different. You say you see how we can look at it and not mean to cut you off, but, you know, that's why we're just kind of like, oh, here we go. I can't this time, or I'm not really sure how to, or at what point in life, if that's what you really want to strive for, do you just go out and make it happen?
Real quick, just got a question from brother from Florida, when he talked about I like to answer people's questions. What he says, what about the men who is doing everything and still not being appreciated or respected?
I think that's an awesome question, and I'm glad he posed that question.
Brother James, thank you.
Well, here's the thing. I've been saying this. This is general, and I'm glad you asked that question, because I want to circle back and say that this was not and is not intended to be a male bashing session.
No.
I need to say that, because there are some phenomenal men out here who are partnering and doing that. So if you feel, because here's the thing. Are you in a situation where, I don't know your relational situation, so I don't know if there were some issues before and there's a trust issue now, like you're doing everything now to try to make it right, and your partner just doesn't want to let go of the past, or maybe have some issues with that, or is the slate clean and this is some person that there was no baggage or damage done. You know what I'm saying? There's a whole lot of dynamics. So for us women, we love hard. And so we love and love and love, but when you hurt us, when we're done, we're done. And so I would answer the question, what types of, because I think the question was, if you're doing all these different things and you're still not appreciated, I don't know. I think it depends on what has happened in that relationship.
Okay.
Yeah. Come on. What happened in that relationship? Was there some trust issues? And was you not cleaning the house before? And then you start cleaning it.
Okay,
and you're like, oh, really? Like, now you're cleaning the house?
You started that. God dang it. Let me borrow the paper. Let's get this party started. God dang it.
I'm just saying. But to whoever the gentleman is, good for you for doing that. Don't, do what you do. Because if it's in you and you have that ability to be this awesome guy, which it sounds like, and you're doing all these things, then keep doing that. But you have to look at the total relationship and what's going on there. What's going on there.
This is now we getting out to the nitty gritty. We said on a commercial break that we wanted to talk about uncomfortable conversations.
Let's go.
Uncomfortable conversations. So some of the things that we mentioned, that a lot of times we're in these relationships, there's a big, huge pink polka dot elephant in the room that we know we have an issue with, but we don't necessarily talk about it. And you said that, sometimes, and I'm trying to bring it full circle, when you talk about, the brother, to your point, when your brother said that, he's been doing everything, doing his thing, then you said, hold up, what happened in the past? But prior to that, you said, forget about what happened, blah, 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 blah. We're partnering right now. So if I did something, whatever, 5 years ago, and I'm doing the damn thing now,
so you're saying that he's being held hostage to the past?
Yes.
Don't
hold on to the past. Like, forget the past when the black man's
talking. I'm talking about some excuses y'all come up with. Oh, my mama didn't, and I didn't, and Ray Ray didn't.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I'm not talking about the man who is vacuuming, and he's taking the kids to the practices, and he's treating his wife right. Because this man is saying that he is doing everything and he doesn't feel appreciated. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is, did we not have an uncomfortable conversation? Did we just wake up one day and act like there wasn't no problems yesterday? Did we didn't address it, and so he's doing all these things and his female friend is not, or wife or whoever she is, just she's just like making it hard for him. Makes me think maybe there were, it could have been some other things going on. So are you kind of, are you trying to imply that I was contradicting myself?
No. But are you trying to imply that that proposition wrong to me?
No.
That's what you thought about.
I did not imply.
Maybe he was an
instrument. Maybe, and I can say wrong.
Okay.
It could be. Maybe he's the man who's stepping it up, doing all right. Maybe she did some wrong. If she came in, she's not appreciating him. He was always there. He was always doing this. He's always been stepping up. And maybe she wasn't doing her part, and he still feels unappreciated. We really can't address that because that was it was vague, and I don't know that. So hopefully we're touching on it. But don't be implying that I was.
Don't be implying that the brother can't just be a good man. Just doing whatever.
I gave him his kudos. I like that. I like to hear that.
And we talked about, you know, uncomfortable conversations.
Mm-hmm, keep going.
I mean, speaking of that, and from that brother's perspective, when that brother is doing what he's doing and whatever, and he's still not being respected, that's the time for an uncomfortable conversation.
Right. So when do we have that?
You're supposed to have that all around.
You say it's like it's so easy. Do we have those?
No, not me, you and I. I think no.
People run from those conversations.
And that's why they get in situations and we have this turmoil in our relationships because we never had these uncomfortable conversations. And for example, I know me and you, and I hope this, the journey kids on the phone, like, you know, that's what
we're talking about. People get answers. Are you going to
but one of the things that we talked about, I know we talked about a couple months ago, we talked about uncomfortable conversations, like before you get to me, when you're talking about getting into that serious relationship, you need to have quite a few uncomfortable conversations because they don't get any better once you get into something. Sometimes we tap dance around certain conversations. But one of the things you and I talked about when I think you were telling me you was at a party, you know, with sex.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? When, years of me talking to guys and whether they've been married, whether they've been out of relationships, when they were saying how their woman or their wife sexually doesn't do it for them anymore.
Okay.
I don't know how you can say, hey baby, this ain't working without somebody. A lot of times, you can't have an uncomfortable conversation without offending somebody. That's a given. But when somebody gets defensive. You know what I mean? That pretty much ends the conversation the majority of the time when this needs to be talked about in relationships that we're going to be uncomfortable. We together for 260, you know, bring on my math. We together 365 days out of the year. For 10 years, that's 3,365 days. You mean to tell me we ain't going to have some uncomfortable days there, uncomfortable months? But when
does it happen? When are you having a conversation? I didn't mean to interrupt because I know where you're going with this.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, and maybe they don't, but where you're going with this is like, how do you bring it up? When do you have it? That kind of stuff. And my thing is, if you went with the sex. If it's bad, when did it get bad? Like, you going to wait until 300, how many, give me your math again. when you get to 3,055 times and then you decide that you want to say, oh, well, boo, I'm sorry, you ain't doing it for me. Like, of course I'm going to be a little offended, or maybe you would be offended, because you're like, wait a minute, we've been engaging in this for all your math. And here you coming with that, so I think there would be some defense there.
So even when you start, I would think, and this is where a lot of relationships are built on false foundations or faulty foundations, because this should have been had, and these type of conversations, you have them early on, so even before you move in together, even before you get married, this should be part of regular conversation. To your point is, that's unfair, here it is, 3-4 years into the marriage, you talk about dating your own girlfriend for me, but how do you tell your woman, like, this is average?
Well, I mean, so you just... You either step out and don't say anything, which is not good, I guess what we're saying is there's all these different scenarios we can look at. How do you fix that? Because the truth of the matter is I personally would prefer to know what's going on than not, but everybody's not like that. So everybody's not like that.
We are sensitive.
Now, look, I may not like what you have to say, but at the end of the day, I would prefer to know whether it's good, bad, or ugly. I would prefer to know that. But like you said, everybody's not like that. So you're talking about people who have to have these conversations. So you're talking about somebody who may not feel appreciated, somebody who don't want to tell their mate that they ain't really doing it for them. I don't know. Like, are we getting involved too quick? Are we not knowing who we're involving ourselves with? Are we visual?
Yes.
We're like, girl, they feel good.
We're just
that's it.
I mean, and we also we're speaking from a more seasoned. I'm not afraid to say my age, but we're speaking from a more seasoned mentality versus where are some of us when we jump into marriage in our 20s or 30s. You hope by 30s you would be mature, but you know, we get in our marriage in our 20s, we don't even know who we are. So a lot of times, you know, you hear this all the time, like the most heinous thing that I hear women say, I want nobody to know my age. Like, what's so bad about age? But that's an whole other ball game. But sometimes when shorties say, you know, do I look like I gained a few pounds with this pants? You know, you want to be like, hell yeah. You know what I mean? That's why you ask me. But you're not, did you mean that? That's an uncomfortable, and it's planned, but that's an uncomfortable conversation. I tell a lot of times, like we as men, sometimes, in my experience, I know a lot of men who, you know, don't, you know, I think they mice, you know what I mean? I ask them, are they men or mice? They mice at home because there's some things they would say to their boys or to their friends, but that's a conversation you should be having with your wife, bro. But here it is, you know, I think Brother Sean always called defensive conversations. When you start to express yourself, all of a sudden somebody gets defensive. Uncomfortable conversations is just that. They're uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So, but you got to incorporate that into your relationship. Hey, boo. You know what I mean? Or, hey, bro, the gear is whack. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Was it whack when we met?
No, but sometimes we get comfortable.
But that's what did we settle? Because I'm trying to think, does that make you shallow? Because I didn't have that experience thinking, okay, does that make me shallow because the type of person that I need somebody who has, who intellectually I can, like, just go stimulate my mind. And then, you know, so if I see somebody who's not really dressed all that well, am I going to go, but he has great conversation.
I'm talking about in a relationship when you all of a sudden your man starts slacking off, you start wearing hair, and he ain't putting on that well groomed. We're talking about relationships.
He's not doing that every day. Let me back that up. If you're starting to see that, I'll use this loosely. I think you have a right to say to your mate
that
there's something that's going wrong or that's not the way you – I don't even know if you want to say the way it used to, because we all change. I mean, we're all changing, but I think it needs to be – you got to get it at the beginning. You can't let the stuff fester. And then, like I said, with your math, 300 and however many days you just said, and then you want to come to me, I'm going to feel some type of way.
Because
you saw me in my sweatpants the last 2 weeks, and you didn't say anything about that. But now I'm picking up weight, and you don't like, you know, that kind of stuff.
I think uncomfortable conversations is a part. I keep coming back. It's a part of relationships. It's something that you should have. And not just when it gets 5 years down.
How do you broach the subject of something that's uncomfortable with somebody that you care about? Somebody, you know, you feel like we feel like we may be hurting their feelings. How do you do that? Because we can talk all day about an uncomfortable conversation, but how do you have it?
You should be able to have it.
Well, we say that's so easy, but...
I'm saying in relationships, you should be able to have it. You should be able to...
One would think.
Yeah, but of course, you ain't going to... It should be no shouting, it should be no cursing, it should be just a regular conversation. I'm coming back to... Let's go back to the starting out in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell people, once the penetration starts, the uncomfortable conversations go out the door. When you so-called dating or whatever, you're allowed to say whatever you want. As soon as you get the ooh-wee and start conversating, then all of a sudden, we don't necessarily, you know, talk about these tough conversations. I'm going back to, you should be able to tell this person things that you're into. And then that just sex, you know, it's talking about physical. You know, sometimes you see some situations, and we as men, we have a lot of these sidebar conversations where, sometimes the our lady counterparts have, you know, packed on a few pounds.
Finish that statement,
because
I got one for that. Go ahead.
I understand, though, but, I always say, brothers, like, maybe one or two, but sometimes when you see stuff like 20, 30, 40 pounds down the line, then all of a sudden you're not attracted to her as much as you once were, or it could be vice versa. That conversation should have been had early on, but you could say, jeans is, thin a little tiny.
Okay,
I'm big. You went and get defensive, and now I become, you know,
so you don't say anything.
I don't say anything because now, like, I'm a little ass kid. I've been scolded. So now I came, and that's a little filler. You know, we ain't talking about the finances. We ain't talking about some of the other things, the future plans. It's like sometimes we think that, you know, disagreements or uncomfortable conversations, confrontation, a lot of us don't like confrontation. And sometimes confrontation is necessary.
Yeah, but you then the next thing is what you step out because you tried to have the conversation.
That's what happened.
You step out. Well,
I'm not.
I know, but I'm just saying. But then let's take it aside. You know, men always want the Coke bottle and the supermodel look. But you know, so if we turn around and say, baby, you got these sweatpants on, and you know, you're not really. You're not dressing the way you were. You just seem like you're letting yourself go. Is it any different of a conversation?
Do we get sensitive?
No.
You need to drop them. If you can say, bruh, your gear is whack, but we can't say that. Y'all can say it.
We can't.
You can't. Y'all, really, y'all. We can't say we gained some pounds, but we get sensitive? I don't know. I ain't heard that. When we get together, we're going to talk about that. You think they get sensitive?
I wouldn't say no.
Like y'all do?
Like we do. So you're trying to say we get sensitive.
We talk about weight?
I mean, I don't know, but I'm just
saying. No, I'm just saying, because you ain't there.
If I try, let's have this conversation in 10 years. How might somebody tell me I had a pack on the back? No, but I'm just, I guess my point is that, no, let me rephrase that. I'm not saying that a guy's getting sensitive, but I think it's so funny to me, and I just have to add this in there. Men always want a certain, like, they like women who are fit and all this, but you're not doing anything about you, so you want this woman who's fit, and she looks great, and she presents herself. And here, I know a lot of beautiful sisters who are single, who are fit, who professional, doing all this stuff, and the man wants all of that, and she presents herself, and then here's her some other excuse. Well, I'm not, you know, my mama didn't teach me how to do fifth grade. Like, for real?
Really?
We kind of were talking about uncomfortable conversations. I don't know. I think the point is how do you have them? How do you really have an uncomfortable conversation? You just got to dig. I mean, you hope that the person that you've decided to, you know, spend some time with or be with or whatever that person is in your life, that you should be able to have. Because I think, what is your conversation like in general? Is your conversation good in general? If you're having surface conversations, you're really not digging deep.
I'm sorry to cut you off. Let's be real, Dad.
Sure.
But man, you talk all the time. You know, we've been on this earth for quite some years.
Yeah.
You mean to tell? And I just had a conversation. I'm talking about I was just talking to my frat brother today on some, you know, just dealing with brothers. I think most of our conversation is surface. And Google and Gaga. People out here talking about nothing. I'm always amazed how people are together for years and don't have no investment plan. What do you have in place? So I'm thinking most conversations and relationships, whether it's male, female, is very surface and on a majority of time, and we don't get under that surface.
But if you think it's surface, if you think it's surface, then that's the issue. Is that if you're having these surface conversations, then you can't expect that when there's an issue, it's going to get resolved because you're having these basic conversations. How are you ever going to be able to go to somebody and say sex is bad or you're dressing bad or you're packing on some pounds?
Why can't you say
that? Why can't you? Because I don't want to say you never had an issue. That's not the right word. But I don't know. Like, if you're just talking about the weather, you're not really talking real deep. And now you want to tell me I've packed on the pounds? I'm feeling some type of way. You didn't want to have deep conversations until you wanted to tell me. What are these conversations looking like?
So we're speaking from a mature perspective. How do we not? That's what I'm saying. Like, how do you not have these conversations? That's what I'm saying. I'm like, how do you not? How do you not talk? And it's easier when we're older because now we pretty much know we've been through some experience. But I'm talking about for younger people. You know, these are the things that we should. You know, I don't even know if you can hold a class on this. But these are the things that I don't think a younger person, whether lack of life experiences, they're not talking about.
So I don't know. I don't know that I actually have an answer for that. I just think that, you know, we have to look at we have to be able to have conversation. You got to say, you know, some people don't say what's on their mind. Some people just don't. They hold it in. It's not fair, but why are people stepping out? Why are they stepping outside of their relationship? Why? Why is that? Because it's happening a lot. Married folks are stepping out. People who stay there in committed relationships are stepping out. Something is taking them out of their relationship because either they don't feel that they're getting answers to some of the things that they brought forth, or they don't feel that they could actually talk about it. So,
I mean, you talked about that, you know, a couple of weeks ago on our trip. We were talking about how, you know, we talk all the time why people step out, and we always say that, you know, a lot of times guys say, "I'm able to, this other young lady I'm dealing with, I'm able to tell her or say some things to her that I can't say to my wife." And I'm like, "Damn, dude, why can't you?"
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But, you know, whether she gets sensitive, she wouldn't understand. So, again, I'm not justifying, you know, why I can't step out. But, again, I'm thinking when you and this person get on, people step out, right? Because a man just told me today that he was talking to a marriage counselor. Was cheating with a marriage man.
Yeah,
he was about marriage. He was like, "Wow, that was crazy."
This goes both ways.
Right, right.
Not just the men.
But if you so-called love somebody, baby, if it's just me and you on this couch, me, you, and God, you know my heart. I ain't cursing at you. I ain't raising my voice. Why can't I say hey, baby, I want to go to the gym with you and lose some pounds? I mean, ain't nobody around. It's only me, you, and God. That's the same way we so-called committed under God, under the Trinity. I can't say something to you. I can't say, "Hey, baby, you know what? I think we need to try some other things. You know, our sex ain't really, you know, it's not really insane." Proof, like, dude, you know, you get a belly, man, you need to go to the gym. Why can't we say that? Why can't we say that?
We should be able to, but we can. Do we as people take the easier way? Now, the easier way is not to say anything and hope that it resolves itself. I don't know. I believe in saying what needs to be said and getting it. You know, you got to say, because how are you going to know that it can or cannot be resolved if you don't say something, what you read?
We have a question from Jeremy from down in from Philly, actually. He says, women are more likely to tell a man about their appearance because they are fixtures, but how fair is it that the fixtures feel that they don't need any fixing themselves?
Oh, okay, Jeremy. Well, I mean, I'm a strong believer in sex. I mean, you should be able to say I think you should be able to say it, but that's a good point.
I'm coming back to, you know, we talked about that before. Like, you know, it's okay when we're in the club, when we all, it's okay for a woman to tell a guy, "No, I don't want to dance," or, you know what I mean, "I'm talking to get out of my face, she whack." You understand? But let that guy say it to a woman, this is, "Oh, what? What? You know, who?" No, it's interesting, this whole concept, and well, I like the way that brother put it, fixing, because sometimes we as brothers, and that's why we have this conversation, we had these conversations in our little cubbyhole, just like you have a conversation in your cubbyhole. That's why I wanted to bring this to the show, and this is just the tip of the iceberg to what I'm trying to do with this show, to get some real conversations. But we really think that we right, and y'all think y'all right, but both parties is clashed without talking, but we say, "God damn, man, y'all can talk about anything, but when I say something to y'all, man, you got sensitive." So,
you know, I think so. Okay.
I run out and go tell the shorty instead of, you know, tell my wife.
Well, I mean, you know, the picture, I like that, the way he put that, you know, and I don't know. I just think that maybe because it goes back to my original points in the very early part of the show is about how we got all this stuff going. I really don't want to hear what you got to say. I got all this battle. I got to balance all this other stuff out, and you want to tell me about some pounds for real? You know what I mean? I get it. I don't have that struggle
at this
point.
Right.
I don't have that struggle.
Right.
But I'm saying that,
point.
You know, we got
point.
All of this stuff going on.
Yeah.
And I don't, I mean, I'm not saying that my guy can't tell me about if I'm packing on pounds or something I'm wearing or whatever. I'm not saying that. But we got all this other stuff. We as you run the world, so to speak. When are you telling me that I need to pack the pounds? After I done ran in with the diaper bag and, you know, picked up 10 kids from the daycare.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You're right. So when, you know, that's the point. Don't tell me that, but life is always going like that.
Right,
so,
right.
You know what I mean? If we got kids, there are always going to be kids around.
Right,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
When do I going to say it? But I know if I'm feeling a certain way for a while, you know what I mean? Tell me, like, I got to worry about you, you know, the kid. So when am I going to get this weight off of me?
Right,
same way
right.
you got, and you have a good point. That's what I'm saying. That's why we need to have these type
right,
of conversations. Because
right.
you all right. You, if I was saying, like, nigga, I'm
right.
What you talking about?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's timing. It's a timing issue.
Right.
I think it's timing. We I think conversations need to be had. I think we as people need to pick. I mean, there's a time for everything. And maybe the time when, you know, you had a bad day at work and I struggled with getting the kids picked up and all this different stuff, and I sit down and I just want to exhale, and you want to tell me that I got sweatpants on and that's all I want to put on right now. Don't tell me about my sweatpants. Don't tell me I didn't pick up some pounds.
Let me throw something out there, goddaggit, because goddaggit, I heard this first. Let me tell you, I just dealt with the man telling you what to do. You know what I mean? I got some testosterone all built up in me, goddaggit, and I need to relieve stuff. You know what I mean? So I get tired, like, oh, I can't. That's why I'm up in this strip club looking at these bullet moons and these bullets. I'm like, oh, my God, you going there now. You know what I mean? But that's where it's fine because he ain't getting it at home. So I don't want to hear that, you know, the baby and I have to, you know.
But that's where partnership comes in, because if you want me to go to the gym and work it out, work it off, get out my sweatpants, then you need to help me with some of this mode that I got.
Yes,
now talk to me
yes,
about these pants
yes,
and this belly and
yes,
this, all this stuff. I need you to help me.
Yes,
so then I'm more
yes,
apt to listen
yes,
to what you have to say
yes,
because now I feel you've partnered with
yes,
me.
Now that's powerful because, you know, it's a give and take. And
yes,
that's what I'm saying. Both parties are sitting over in each corner holding
right,
their breath.
Because I
started
to
deal
with you when you didn't wash the dishes, I did the laundry. One, you picked up one kid, I picked up one kid.
Mm.
We cooked dinner together, and then we decided we're going to go to the gym. We're partnering. It's a big difference when you partner.
Good point. And I hear that. You know, that's it. But, again, these are the type of conversations that people need to have. And without you saying, hey,
right.
You took out the trash instead of that, baby. You take out the trash. Well, I told you, I gotta tell you that every week.
I'm gonna tell you, I'm not always gonna say, baby.
Feedback from the first barbershop show we had last month. So But next week we'll be at the barbershop with about 8 new brothers or 10 new brothers on the show. But again, I want to thank Dad, as always, an incredible friend of mine, for joining us on the Conversations with Good Brothers show. I want to thank you all for listening in. I really appreciate your support, as always. And I'm looking forward to continued support and provide you with good conversations from good brothers and good people, such as Dad. I want to say, Sean, I miss you, brother. I'll talk to you later on today. First time me and you haven't been on the show, so it's, Dad held it down.
Thank you.
But Sean, I miss you. Looking forward to our next conversation. But I give thanks and have a wonderful evening to all you all, and have an incredible rest of the week. Thanks.
Bye.